Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for just the many blessings that you give to us. And Lord, we're just glad this morning you are who you are, that, Lord, you are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, we praise you. We worship you as God, the Creator, the Lord God Jehovah. There is none other beside you. And Lord, we are thankful this morning for just who you are, your character, for your faithfulness, your goodness to us. Lord, thank you so much for giving us all the blessings and loading us down every day with all the benefits of just being, Father, recipient of all that you do for us. Thank you so much. Lord, in the next few moments, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate your word in our hearts. And Lord, change our lives. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, what you have meant us to be. Lord, may we surrender our wills to you. And Lord, may you be able to do a work in our hearts. And may others be able to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I'm in Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going through biblical principles for practical living. I'm in verse 31 and 32, identifying principles in particularly the book of Proverbs, looking for things that we could be, if we're not already doing so, put into practice. Principles that God has laid out for us in his word were things that we should be doing if we're not, if we are, that we would keep it up and even get better at what we've already started. And so we're looking at verse 31 and 32. The Bible says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. But he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." That's Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32. Now, in the series that I've been on through this Biblical Principles for Practical Living, I have already addressed this because Proverbs deals with it on numerous occasions. So I'm not going to spend as much time on it this morning as I have in the past, but I would like to just remind us this morning that though we've already looked at this principle in the past, and you may or may not have listened when that was addressed, but you know, pride can creep into our lives at any time. And we need to have a constant vigilance to assure ourselves that we're always open to reproof. We're always open to correction. We're always willing to allow somebody to teach us. Someone said years ago, "Everybody knows something I don't know, so I will allow everybody the opportunity to be my teacher." You know, the man that's so full of pride, or the person, could be man, woman, boy, girl for that matter, but is so full of himself, so full of his own thoughts of himself, how intelligent, how wise he is, you know, that person has a hard time being willing to listen to anybody but himself. And that's pride at its worst. You know, we ought to be willing, and we ought to even be ready to receive instructions. We ought to be willing and ready to receive reproof, correction. Because, you know, there are things that others see in us that we don't see in ourselves. And maybe they're trying to help us. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And somebody rebukes us, somebody's correcting us, we ought to be willing to listen to that. You know, it says a lot about your character, your attitude that you display when somebody gives you a bit of advice or instructions that you don't particularly want to hear, but you know that it's probably best for you to hear. Your attitude says a lot about who you really are. And a wise person hears reproof. As a matter of fact, a wise person, he wants reproof. He wants to receive instruction because he realizes he's not complete. He's certainly not perfect. He can have a potential to learn something, and so he embraces it. He may or he may not agree with the assessment that is leveled at him, but he at least wants to at least hear it, to look for any possibility of any truth in it. And if he finds and discovers that there is some truth in that reproof or that correction, then he accepts it and he's glad for it. That's a wise man's response to reproof and correction. But the foolish man's response is he hates it, he despises it, he wants nothing to do with it. And so I ask us, all of us this morning, certainly including myself, how have we handled the reproof that we've gotten this week or this month? What's our attitude been when somebody has challenged us, either openly or maybe in a message or a Sunday school lesson, or the preacher said something, and it wasn't spoken directly to you, but you took it as a direct challenge. And how did you respond? What was your attitude? That's a good question for you and I to ponder this morning. It's a good thought to consider, because it says a lot about who we are and who we are becoming, our attitude when somebody corrects us. Well, let's move over to chapter 16, Proverbs 16, continuing our theme, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. And we'll drop down to verse 2. We're looking, identifying only the verses that I have identified, and I'm sure there's a lot more. I'm not suggesting that I've exhausted this, but the ones that I've pulled out and given some thought and consideration to, and those are the ones I want us to look at. Verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now listen to that verse. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. A very familiar example of this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 14. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? We are familiar with this portion of Scripture where King Saul had been given the commandment of God to go to the Amalekites and to annihilate them. And yet when he went, they kept the best and kept the king, thinking that they would sacrifice them to the Lord and God would be pleased with that. Well, the problem was that's not what God told them to do. God was very explicit in his instructions, and his expectation was that they would follow his orders explicitly. Of course, they didn't. But Samuel said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, he clearly had not done that. He clearly had not done that, and yet in his mind, he had done that. You know, that speaks of an issue that, unfortunately, is not just Saul's problem. Many of us today have the exact same problem. And we're almost like Saul. We become indignant if someone would suggest that we haven't done what God has told us to do. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know, that's one of our biggest problems in humanity. We think that we've got it all figured out. We think that we know best. Someone said, we are blind to our own faults and do not see ourselves as others see us. There is one who tries us not just the ways that we do or what we do, but it tries the spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God judges not only the actions, but he judges the intents of the heart. He judges the motive. And God knows not only what we did, but he knows why we've done it. You know, someone else said, many men can easily flatter and deceive themselves into a good opinion of themselves and of their own actions, even though they're sinful. And how true that is. We human beings, we've got a very good knack at this of doing whatever it is we want to do and somehow convincing ourselves it's okay, no matter if it is or isn't. We can convince ourselves it's okay. I remember when I was growing up, I used to say to my dad, Dad, I don't see anything wrong with that. And my dad challenged me on more than one occasion. He would say to me, son, don't ask yourself or don't make the statement, I don't see anything wrong with it. You need to stop and ask yourself, do you see anything right with it? Boy, that changed the whole thing. You know, I'd look at something and I'd say, well, I don't see anything wrong. And Dad was challenging me, well, what about, does God see anything wrong with it? Is there anything right with it? That's a good question. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, man may deceive himself and be blind to his own faults, but God isn't. Man may not see his errors, but God does. You know, the Lord weighs the spirit. He doesn't just weigh the actions or what you did, but he weighs, why did you do what you did? What was your motive? What were the intents of your heart? What caused you? What made you do what you did? Now, you may do the right thing. If you do the right thing for the wrong reason, then in God's eyes, it's wrong. It's never right to do wrong to get the chance to do right, someone said. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Boy, every time I read that verse, I can't help but think about America and society today. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, this old world doesn't like to hear the word sin. It gets some people upset when somebody says something about sin. I've heard stories of where the preacher would say about how sin was dirty and vile and filthy, and someone would be upset because it's such an upsetting word to say that our sin is filthy or dirty. You know, the Bible says that our sin is filthy. It says our righteousness is as filthy rags. What, pray tell, then must be our wickedness be like in the sight of God? It is certainly filthy. It's vile. It's dirty. It's nasty. There is a generation that is pure in their eyes. It's interesting that society can get to the point where they think what they're doing is pure, while all this time God could say it's repulsive and disgusting and nasty and filthy. And I believe we live in a day and age in which much of what is done, unfortunately, often is seemingly pure. It's clean. It's okay. But it disgusts the very heart and mind of a holy and a righteous God, the Creator. In Proverbs 36, verse 2, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Notice that phrase, he flattereth himself in his own eyes. The person who's living that life, he sees nothing wrong. It seems right to him. It's clean and it's pure. He flatters himself. He's impressed with himself until his iniquity be found to be hateful. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Here's the person. This Pharisee thought, well, you know what? I'm all right. I'm not like everybody else. I'm clean. I'm pure. I'm a good guy. You know, none of us are good. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, we're all sinners. We don't always know we're sinners, and there are those in society who claim there is no such thing as sin because there's no such thing as God. And of course, we believe that not only is there a God, but because there is a God, there is clearly a thing that's righteous, and clearly there's a thing that's unrighteous, a thing that's good, a thing that's bad, a thing that's pure, a thing that's evil. And so we understand that we are sinners, and we need to make sure that we don't get caught up in the world's philosophy thinking, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Everybody else does it. And it's not as nearly as bad as what they do, as we point to some other group or some other action. And the truth of it is, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. We're to compare ourselves to the Holy Word of God and let God teach us and tell us and define for us what is right, what is wrong. In Proverbs 5, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. You know, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We turn in our Bibles to the book of Judges 17:6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's pretty much where we are today. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know, when you can call sin right, you can convince yourself to continue to live that way. when you can call disobedience to God's word okay, it's right, it's acceptable, and you can convince yourself there's nothing wrong with it and it seems right to you, you'll continue to live that way. But what we need is a revival of recognizing there is a thing called evil, wretchedness, wickedness, sinfulness. It's dirty, it's vile, it's filthy. And though our way seems right to us, we need to find out, is it right to God? Not does it pass the test of our understanding, but does it pass the test of God? Is God satisfied with it? Is he satisfied with what we do, and is he satisfied with why we do what we do? And so all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. I wonder this morning, as God is weighing us, does he find us wanting? Does he find us lacking? We may be clean in our own eyes, but what about God's eyes this morning? This morning I'll leave you with this thought. What does God think about you as opposed to what do you think about you? And I suspect if all of us, certainly, and I'm absolutely including myself, if we would stop and say, what does God think about what I'm doing right now? What does God think about how I've been living? What does God think about my actions lately? Instead of what do I think? We might come to a different conclusion when we begin to couch it in this thing. What does God think? Does God see anything right with this? As opposed to us saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. These are good thoughts. I think they'll help us. I think they'll change us. Because when we let God begin to teach us by yielding ourselves, surrendering ourselves to him and his thoughts, then our ways will change when we understand God thinks differently than we do. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.